Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet Zayin. But we're holding right at the bottom of Kuf Tet Vav Amud Beit. We're one line up. And Tana Rabbanan. So we were talking, remember, about the halacha, that if you've got 85 letters, which is Keneged, the Parsha of Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron, so at that point you're allowed to be Matzil, the Sefer Torah. So the question is, we want to get into now this, how is it that Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron is looked at as being the equivalent of an entire Sefer Torah? Tana Rabbanan. Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron Vayomer Moshe. Parasha zo asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu simaniyot milamala v'lamata. So at the beginning of the parasha, we begin with the Nun Hafucha, and then at the end of the parasha, we have another Nun Hafucha. And this is essentially to insert the parasha into brackets, to in order, Lomar She'en Zomekuma, this is actually not the correct place for this parsha, because it really belongs together with the description of the Nesia of the Machanes, when you were setting up all of the Shvatim and were saying who's supposed to go first and all of that. That would be a place in which it would make sense to write Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron, because we were talking, remember over there, we were talking about Bichlal, how to go, and then it says that the Levim are going to come, and they're going to take it apart, and so that would be a perfect place to say, okay. And then when they picked up the Arayin, Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron, and so on, that's where it belongs. So why is it over here? It's over here, as we're going to see, in order to make certain that we separate between two parshas on either side, as we'll talk about in a moment. Rebbe says, no, that's not why. It's in perfectly correct place, because the parsha before it speaks about Vayisumi HaRashem, so they were leaving Har Sinai. So this is not a description of what should be. It's a description of what actually was. So Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron. And therefore, it belongs right here. You know what these semoniot are for? Because the parsha of Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron represents an entire sefer of understanding the nature of Torah. And because of that, it's a Sefer Choshev Bifnei Atzmo. And since it's a Sefer Choshev Bifnei Atzmo, it becomes the model for how long you have to have a Sefer, and it's 85 letters. So that means that the Chashivas of a Sefer and the Kedushas HaSefer can be had with 85 letters. The Yom Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman Omar Rabbi Yonatan, Chatzva Amudei HaShiv'a, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built up the seven pillars of the Torah. What is that referring to? The world, that's the Shiva Sifrei Torah, that's the seven books of the Bible. We only know about five books of the Bible. Oh, so you see from here that there's actually seven. So by inserting Vayhi Bin Soah Aaron here, you've split Sefer Bamidbar into three separate Svarim. Part one up to Vayhi Bin Soah, part three from Vayhi Bin Soah, and then in the middle you have Vayhi Bin Soah, which gives you a total of two additional Svarim, and that is seven. Now this, of course, would be going like what Rebbe said, that it's a Sefer Choshev Bifnei Atzma, Man Tana de Pol, Galei de Rebbe. And where do we find the Tana who actually argues on Rebbe and says that that's not the reason? It's not because it's considered to be a Sefer Bifnei Atzma, but it's because it's the wrong place. Okay, who is that? Ah, that indeed we know is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because we learned in a brayso Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Atida parasha zo sheteaker mikan v'tichatev bimekoma. After all of the experiences of Olam Hazeh and dealing with the Yetzer Hara and with Midas Adin and Puraniyut are forgotten, meaning after HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metayer levavenu, we no longer have to worry, umol Hashem lokechas levavcha, then the Sefer Torah will place this parsha where it belongs. Now, obviously, that's not like Rebbe. And where does it belong? As we said, it belongs back together with the story of the Binyan HaMachane. And the reason, Lama Katava Kan, why was it written over here? Kidei lahafsik ben Puranut Rishona lePuranut Shniya. Now, Tosus is pshat in this. Okay, you've got that smile on your face. We have to acknowledge it. Mazel tov. So the point over here is, this remembers big machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban in Chumash. And here as well, Rashi and Tosis argue, but at Lamaisa, everyone that I know of among the Rishonim argues on Rashi's pshat, which is an extremely, extremely kvetchy pshat. And the Poshita meaning is, as Tosas here points out, the Ramban points out, the Poshita meaning is that the Vayis'u Mihar Hashem, which the Gemara is about to explain, is the Puranut, which is the Rishonah, because when Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai, they left it because it was the Har Hashem. And they were like Tinok Boreach Mibeit HaSefer. They were like children running out of school the last day of school. Whoopee! And that's it. So you want to leave it behind. I've had enough, thank God, away from Har Sinai. We all know that feeling at the end of Seder, you know. So now we can have a little bit of relaxation. Anyway, that is Puranut. That's horrifying. And now the problem is that Puranut generally means there was an Onesh. And over there, there was no Onesh. Okay. So the Puranut is bad news. And that was right before this. So if we wouldn't have had this safer, so to speak, of Ayibat Zaharon here, or this parasha here, according to Shemin Gamaliel, we would have had a whole list of these terrible things that they were Noseah from Har Sinai, and then they were complaining about the way, and they were Mitavu Tava, and like each thing was just downhill. That was a horrible feeling. And so because of that, we wanted to separate it, that it shouldn't be mamish everything all at once, just to make it at least palatable a little bit. So it's in order that there should be a hefsek. What exactly do we mean by the Puranut Hashniya? So that was referring to the Misonanim. Vayiyam Kimit Onanim. And that comes right after Vayimit Soharon. So because of that, there was the Esh that was Porats and punished them. That means literally Puranut. What was the Puranut Rishona? Vayis'u Mihar Hashem. The Omar Rabbi Chama Bar Rabbi Hanina. Why does it say Mihar Hashem? Because Tsarul Me'acharei Hashem, the Bedavka wanted to turn aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the meaning. Now, there is a different girsa in some places that says, Al Tikre Me'har Hashem Ela Me'acharei Hashem, in which case there is some kind of diak that we're not making from the Har Hashem. But the Pashta says that if you want to refer to Har Sinai as the Har Hashem instead of Vayisumi Sinai or Mihar Sinai, so then you're stressing this is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and I don't want to be there, which of course was part of the entire problem of the Kafalim Har Chigigit and so on. This is an extension of the way in which we've seen the problem started at Har Sinai Gufa. So this means that they were Soru Mihakare Hashem. So where is the correct place, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel? Where does the parsha belong? Omer of Ashi, the Degalim. We're describing how all of the Degalim went. And at that point, it should say, Vayibin Saharon, describing what the derech of the Nesia ought to be. Okay, now, so now getting back to the Mishnah. We're talking about saving a Sefer Torah. We got to the question of, can it be 85 otiyot from different places and so on? Now the question is, what about if it's not even otiyot? What about the actual gilyonot, so the gilyonim? But Pashtas are referring to any place which surrounds the sefers. You can have the upper margin, the lower margin, left margin, right margin, and every sefer Torah has got to be at least as good as a Word document, right? So you've got the Hagdor of the margins. And you even have special margins. Between the Svarim, you have a special margin. At the beginning of the Sefer, it has to be long enough to wrap around the pole. At the end of the Sefer, it has to be long around to wrap around the entire Sefer. And then we have other dinim of what defines a blank space between the Parshios. Okay, so L'chora, what they're asking over here, can we be Matzil, just the Gilyonot, even if we apparently, either if it was cut off and we just have Gilyonot, or if it was part of a Sefer Torah and the Sefer Torah was erased. Either way, what do you mean? What kind of weird question is that? We just had the Braita Sefer Torah Shebalayim Yesh Balalaket Shmonim V'Chamesh Otiyot Kigon Parshat V'Yibin Saharon that we've been talking about all day. If you have 85 letters, you can be Matzil. But if you don't have any 85 letters, you can't be Matzil. So what are you talking about? Can we save it for the blank spaces? You can save it for the blank spaces. Why do we need 85 osios? Atepur le mishum gilyon direi, so why can't you save it for all of the blank areas? No, you don't understand my question. Obviously, if it was bola, this is not, here. I'm not talking about what was bola. Everybody is made it. If it was originally written, right, and now it's like just completely worn out. So okay, so everything is worn out and is no longer usable. I'm talking about where everything is great. There's no problem. Maybe some water fell on it and erased the letters or so on. So that's my question. How could I save the sefer because of the gilyon of the blank sefer? No, I know that too. Toshba, take a look at the bride. The sefer Torah nimchak. Now note that it says over here nimchak. That means it fell into water. It does not bola. Everything is fine. It's a nice, strong parchment, beautiful, but it's been erased. And that happens very often. You've seen sefer Torah where the ksav pops off or whatever wasn't done properly. Anyway, so if it has, it says over there, if it has 85 otiot like vayibin so'aron, you can save it. And if not, you can't save it. Okay, so that has nothing to do with it's getting worn out. So I'm pointing out to you the same idea. If you don't really need any ktav on it, why can't you save it just because of the blank sides, you know, the margins? So typically, let me show you on the day. Ah, that's not the point over here. Excuse me. This braita is talking about the area where there was once writing. Okay, now if there was once writing on that area, then that would mean that that area was miyuchad to be kodesh because of the ktav that you were going to have in that area. So over there, for sure, the whole kedusha only comes from the ktav, so it's agav ktav with the kodesh. The moment that the ktav is gone, pow, there goes away the kedusha. But what I'm talking about is where something was miyuchad for, not for ketav, but it was just there in order to provide a margin in the first place. I never had any intent to write on it. So kikomi boile shomala v'shomata, or ben parsha la parsha, or ben daf la daf, shebetchilata sefer, shebesofa sefer. That's what I'm talking about. Those parts always were meant to be blank. Okay, fine, no. So I'm talking about those parts. I understand what you're helping me here. If you're telling me that only the part where the writing was is the part that doesn't retain its kedusha, fine, so don't save the Sefer Torah in the part where the writing was. But save it because of the parts that are still intact margins. I don't understand you. And we're talking about that you cut out those pieces. That's what we're talking about. In other words, what we had over here was a Sefer Torah that became erased. So somebody cut out the portions that were still usable, and that he's keeping. That was no question. Now we have a fire that broke out and only has the places where the writing was. So you don't want to throw those out. Fine. We can't use them for anything else. So we're talking about that. And that is the Shaila, that I'm asking you. Look, Abby, the parts that were not dependent on the writing, fine. That I understand. By the way, this is interesting. It's very similar to the Rambam's idea of the difference between the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and the Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what is the point of the Kedusha? The point of the Kedusha is for Ashras HaShchina. The Kedusha of the Shechina never is bottled. You know, if the Kedusha comes because of the Kibush, then take away the Kibush. Sans kibbutz, sans kedusha. Now it's no longer there for you to use it for you to populate, so it doesn't have that kedusha. Okay, so the same thing would be true over here. So now I have over here, I took off the gilyonot, and I have over here the question of the other area. So now, wait a minute. But isn't there space between letters? I mean, surely it doesn't mean that you cut around each letter, right? Like, I mean, what about, did you really cut between each parsha and everything? I mean, we said that's part of the gilyonot. I mean, what we'll have to say is that because, and this is clear from the dinim of ketav, the background and the foreground are just as important when it comes to ksiva. It's the whole inyan of chok tochot and so on. So that part is for sure considered to be writing. It doesn't matter whether the ink is on that part or it provides the context for the text, because the text and the context are both necessary in order for there to be a ktav. We're talking about where Bichlal, it doesn't have any of the dinim, which is that it's completely at the side. Tashma. Okay, I'll bring you a riot to that also. Hagilyon shomala v'shomata v'shal bein parsha l'parsha bein daf v'daf v'tchilat ha-sefer v'shabesof ha-sefer mitamim et ha-yadayim. So here it says, if you touch a blank margin, your hands will become tamei. Remember that we had the gezerah from the Yudches Dvorim that because of the propensity of people putting truma, which is kodesh, near the Sefer Teru, put it inside the oreg, because of that, rats used to come and they would attack this dvorim. So Chazal were gozer tuma on truma, or tuma on yadayim, that would touch truma, anybody who touches the Sefer Teru. So now the question is, how about if you don't touch the area of the Sefer where there was any writing? Is the area, you were asking, is the area around the page, the margin, is it, does it have Kedusha or does it not have Kedusha? That was the question. I'll bring you Raya. It has Kedusha. So it says over here, even if your finger only came into contact with the blank area of the page, then your hands would become Tame. So then you see from there that the Gilyonot have the same Kedusha as the Sefer Torah. No, that's different. That's because you have a whole Sefer Torah. I didn't ask that question. Obviously, if you have a whole Sefer Torah, the whole Sefer Torah is one din of a Sefer Torah. So if you touch the blank part, it's exactly the same as touching the written part. That's not what the question was, my friend. Remember, I asked you, what's the din of the Gilayon itself, not a Gilayon that's connected to a full Sefer Torah. So Dilma Agav Sefer Torah, obviously, it's shiny. I mean, but I was asking, what about if I erased the Ksav, water fell on it, does it still retain the Kedush? You can't bring me a Raya from that, from here. Tashma. Okay, how about this? Hagilyonim v'sifrei minim. Okay, now here it talks about specifically the margins, which I'm assuming refers to like all of the margins that we listed before, of Sifrei Torah, or even full sforim that were written by minim. Now, don't pay any attention to the Rashi's pshat of minim, because it was inserted by, for the purposes of censor, where they would not accept anything that had to do with the Christians or and remote them to the Christians. The minimum over here, we're talking about people that ended up being Kafir and Torah on some level, and not because of the aspect of Avodah Zarah, but because of the actual minus that was involved early on in Christianity, where it was an attempt to undo the Kedusha of the Torah and to say it's no longer Nogea and so on and so forth. So if you have Sforim that are in the hands of Minim, or the question written by Minim, in the hands of Minim, it's in the hands of Minim, as Tosis points out, we'd still be Mesupik. Maybe they got them, they bought them in a kosher store or something. It's not clear here. But whatever the Sifrei Minim, you cannot save them from a fire. You allow them.
Rabbi Rashi's description is the description of a Samaritan Sefer Torah. And if we came out that they were Obdei Avodah Zarah.
It's not Rashi's description here. I don't know what your Girsa is. It's not about Samaritan Sefer Torah.
Saba Shuris Lashon Kodesh? That's my Girsa.
I don't know what that, I never saw such Rashi. Anyway, so the Ein Matzilino Tamipnei Adleika, Elon Nisrafim Bimekoman, Hein V'Azkarotan. So they're burnt where they are. And with the Kedushas Hashem, there's no Kedushas Hashem, let the whole thing be burnt up. So my love, I'm assuming that these are two separate things. And one of them is a reference to the margins, right? So you see that you do not save the Stam Gilyonot. No, this is not two separate things. This is talking about Gilyonim of Sifrei Minim. What do you mean, Gilyonim of Sifrei Minim? If you're not allowed to save the Sefer of the Minim, obviously you're not allowed to save the Gilyonim of the Sefer Minim. Why would I mention it? Hashta Sifrei Minim themselves in Matzilim Gilyonimi, boy. That's not what it means. It means Sifrei Minim are, for all intents and purposes, the same as blank. Notice, pay no attention to anything written on that. There's nothing written on it, you understand? So therefore, there's nothing to save. Okay, karma. Sifrei Minim are like blank pages. And therefore, it doesn't matter what you have on them, because it's as if they're just pieces of paper in a pile in your office. They have no Kedusha. Okay, let's see the whole That whole thing. So we get a better sense of that, Brisa Gufa. Hagilyonim v'sifrei minim, ein matzilin otom mipnei hadleka. Rabbi Yossi says, well, forget about matzilin mipnei hadleka on Shabbat. You know, what you really need to do is that if it's not Shabbos, take a knife, cut out every one of the Shemot Hashem from it, and put them away, because you don't want to burn the Shem Hashem, and the rest of it, throw into a fire. You burn the whole thing up. Mashen Ken, this one that the shame that you should be gonaz, right? Om Revi Tarfon. Ha! I can tell you, I swear to God, my children should drop dead. If I had a chance, give me one of them, man, I'd throw the whole damn thing into the fire. I wouldn't bother cutting out the Shemot. It's all garbage. Shafilu Adam Rodefach Harav L'Hargo, if somebody was chasing me to murder me, or a snake was after me to kill me. He's referred to himself in third person. I perhaps would go into a church. I wouldn't mind going into a church. You know, nice Buddha there, whatever. I would never walk into the house of one of these guys. Sha'alalu makirin v'kofrim. These guys, these minim, they know very well what the truth is. They're going out of their way to be fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makir es ribeinam, and mechaven limrod bo. These poor people in the church, what do they know from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They never heard of them. In makirin, they don't know anything. So because of that, that's why they're kofrim. They were raised that way. Ve'aleim HaKatuv omer. But about the people that do it on purpose, that's what it says. Ve'achar hadelet v'hamizuzah samt zichronech. It's not that you don't remember me. Zichronech doesn't mean remember. Zichronech means aware. It's not that you're not aware of me. You're very aware of me. And you fight to push that awareness under the carpet so that you never have to worry about it. That's the point. To such people, I would never walk in. And they, because of that, bichlal, do not have a kedusha in anything that they do. They're anti-kedusha. That's their whole point. So why would I try to save the Shemot? Those Shemot have no Kedusha in them. Omer Rabbi Yishmol, I think he's absolutely right. I mean, look, it's a Kal V'chomer. Because Umal La'asot Shalom Ben Ish L'Ishto. You want, what does the Torah say is more important? Shalom, even within one family, a man and his wife. Or the Kedusha of my shame. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, better to erase the shame that is written by Kedusha. And put it into the water and wipe it out. And that's just to make peace between a man and his wife. These shemos over here, and people that destroy the relationship between me and humanity, for sure erase everything that they ever did. Are you kidding? So if you take that as a gilui of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzon is in terms of Kedushas Hashem, so it would be clear to you, I would never think of preserving those shemas. And therefore, I think Reb Tarfon is 100% right. They should, the whole thing should be burned. And Lamaisa, Lehem Amar David, Halo Misan Echa Hashem Esna, I hate people who hate you. Ubimitkom Mechet Kotat Tachlitzinas Neitim, I hate these people with the most incredible ultimate hatred. Lo'ivima Yuli, I see them as my own vicious enemies. In exactly the same way that we talk about what cannot be saved min adleika, kach ein matzilin otam lo min ha'mepolet, lo min ha'mayim, lo midover ha'ma'abdan. As Tosis explains, remember that part of the halach, this of course is only a libet of Rabbi Yossi. I mean, according to Rabbi Tarfon, I'll destroy them. Koshkin, I don't need to know that I don't save them. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that when you have some sifrei minim, you don't burn the shemais. So you might have thought, says Taisves, that the whole din over here of ein matzilin is only because of the chashash shema yichbe, like we said, because we're afraid that the guy is going to become bohul al mamono, and he's going to maybe put out the fire. So that might only be applicable to a fire. But I mean, if there's a flood coming, I mean, maybe I'm, according to those who don't hold of Rabbi Yossi, those who hold of Rabbi Yossi don't hold of Reb Tarfon, that you're supposed to destroy them. Maybe I should save them because of the Shemot. No, you don't save them at all. The most that we say is that you're, according to Nafka Mina would be, whether you're allowed to destroy them and throw them out, or whether you need to be gone, we certainly don't save them from anything. Boimine Yossi Barchonim and Rabbi Abbahu. How about the Svarim in Be Avidan? Matzilin otam ibnei hadleka, o ein matzilin otam. So they used to have these debate centers. We know about these centers from the in the church. We know from the various terrible stories of the debates in the Middle Ages and the story of the Ramban and his great debate, which was written up, of course. And they used to have at the time of the Gemara, they had philosophy centers. You know, you go in and have a nice debate about the nature of God, reality, the cosmos, and so on. And this is sort of a Greek kind of idea, or it was American Indian, you know, Chautauquas, Indabas. That was the same kind of idea, different cultures, different words. But basically, it would be a makom where you would enter into debates about things. And the Shaila is, over there, they have these Sforim that were written for purposes of debates. So, I mean, the question over here is, like, are debaters ipso facto minim? Is that by definition minim? Or, like, it's, you know, it's just sort of librarians, you know? I mean, I don't know. All the books are basically the same. I'm not out to ruin anything. You know, so when I'm a book copyist, so, you know, so copy this book too. I mean, is that considered to be the equivalent of Sifrei Minim, since ultimately the place is a place where, I mean, that's really what you do. You say whatever you want and whatever you think about things. So, are you Matzilin Mipnei Adleka? So Rabbi Abu was not clear. Sometimes he said in, sometimes he said lav. Rafi Biyada, it was clearly the halach was not something that he knew. So, Rav lo azilavei avidan, the koshikein lebe nitzurfei. Rav would not attend any of these debates, and for sure he wouldn't go to be nitzurfei, because that was like there they had an avodah zarah, and there it was officially sanctioned by the church that he wouldn't go to. Shmuel wouldn't go to the church, but he would attend be avidan, and he would engage with them, and because of that. He felt that he could protect, you know, Jews by protecting their point of view. And actually, it was dangerous to go, as we know from, you know, even when the king promised the Ramban and gave him an official guarantee, nothing is going to happen to him and so on. I mean, basically, it was really, really dangerous and suffered from it for decades. So the obviously, if you're looking out for yourself, you don't go to Be Avidan. So Rava used to try to avoid Be Avidan, and they would keep coming to him, and, you know, a great rabbi like you should join us for our interfaith sessions. I mean, it's the modern thing to do. What do you want to be looked at as some kind of old-fashioned, I mean, why don't you come? Oh, he says, on the way, there's this big palm tree, and every time I get to that palm tree, I fall over one of the roots. They got a lot of roots there. The whole road isn't usable. Okay, fine. We'll send out a crew and we'll uproot the trees. You should come. I mean, we'd love to have you. We'll do whatever we need. Well, he says, I got to tell you, every time I pass by the place, it stinks to high hell. I don't believe that taking out the tree is going to make a difference. So duch de koshli, the place itself, I can't even go past. Mar bar Yosef Amar. I don't know what these guys are so, like, worried about the Be Avidan. I go there all the time. We're good friends, you know. They bring out really good drink. We talk. Everybody's open to everyone's opinion. It's very, very, I mean, these are liberals, you know. Surely liberals are ready to hear anything, aren't they? I mean, they would never attempt to crack down on someone because of a point of view. Ana minayu ana. I'm like one of them. Lo mistafinu minayu. It's nothing to be afraid of. These guys are good friends. Once they tried to take his life, and he learned the difference. So zimnachoda ozel and boilis sakune. Anyway, Ima Sholem, who was the visa de Rebbe Eliezer, achate de Rebbe Gamliel havoi. So Ima Sholem was the famous sister of Rebbe Gamliel. So she was married to Rebbe Eliezer, and she wanted she and her brother wanted to go after this guy, one of these philosophers over there, Aviahu Philosopha Bishpufute. So one of these guys, you know, the Be Avidan type of very moral liberals. So this is a guy who spread the word that he cannot be bought. Honest professor, they called him. Yes, indeed. So Rabbi Gamliel and his sister decided they're going to expose this guy. So they wanted to expose him as an idiot. So she goes ahead, Ima Shalom, and she brings him a beautiful golden lamp, and then she goes to sue her brother, right? So she goes ahead and she says, you know, I've got this terrible brother, and I believe that I have a right to half of the estate. My father died. My brother won't give me anything in the estate. So he says to them, what do you mean? Of course you have to have a part in the estate. Plogu, divide it equally. This is a modern world, man. Women's rights, what are you, crazy, this old-fashioned stuff? Omar Leh, Sir Rabbi Gamliel said to him, but it says in the Torah, K'tivlan b'mokom bra bartolo teirot, that in the place where there's a son, a girl doesn't inherit. Omar Leh, so the judge said to Rabbi Gamliel, my dear friend, that's the Old Testament. Min yuma de galitun mirachon, from the time that you guys were thrown out of your land, that has been canceled. It natlit oraita de Moshe, and now we have a New Testament. Vit yahiv safrach rite, we've got a whole new way of seeing things, and there it says, a son and a daughter are meant to be equal, and they should be kechada yirtun. Anyway, so the next day, Rabbi Gamliel was pretending to be the Baldin over here, her brother. So he gets this guy a chamra luba. Remember we had before about how expensive these chamra lubas are, and they're incredibly powerful. Anyway, wow, I mean, this is like giving a guy a Porsche, understand? So he has a Porsche delivered to this judge's garage, you know? And so they come in the next day to court, you know, he has new things he wants to discuss. Anyway, so, and when they get back to court the next day, the judge says, however, remember, look now, towards the end of the New Testament, where the writer assures us, I am not coming to in any way detract from the old book of Moses, and I wouldn't add anything to the book of Moses. And I mean, as far as I know, in the book of Moses, it says that a girl is not yoresh where there is a male. So she says, your honor, may you shine like that golden lamp. And Rabbi Gamliel says, nah. The donkey came and he knocked over the lamp. So everybody in the audience, this was on TV, you understand, it was a major case. Everybody understood, what? Obviously the guy had been bribed anyway. Okay, so now getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, okay, why are you not allowed to read from Ksuvim on Shabbos? Because of Bito Beit HaMidrash, and that was, they wouldn't come to the Drasha Amarab. This is only during the time where they would give a shir. Avashalo bizman Beit HaMidrash Korin. And obviously the only time to give a shir is right after davening, before everybody gets into the house, gets all tired and drunk, and they're not going to listen to shir. So everybody's complaining, why does that rabbi talk so long? By the time we get to eat, it's after this long two-hour shir. My gosh, I'm sure you've all heard stuff like that. I mean, it's hard to believe, the amenu. But yes, that's actually what some people say. So they would only give the shir in the morning, after davening, before you got home. Because after that, fat chance of anybody being able to stay up in the shir, right? So after 5 minutes, you'd have a beis hamidrash of a lot of snoring. So therefore, shelo bizman beit hamidrash, if it's after the su'uda, where they would never make a shir, so then you can read, yeah. So you want to fall asleep over, say, for yilv, go right ahead. V'shmuel omer, afilo shelo bizman beit hamidrash in korin. They made a blanket kind of isra over here. We don't want you to read any time of the day. Is that true? Narda was exactly where Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva, and in Narda, Dafka, they would actually be Paske Sidra B'Ktuvim B'Minchata de Shabbata. They went out of their way to read over every week. They did a perek of Ktuvim by Mincha. So obviously Shmuel, you're telling me Shmuel said you can't read at any time in the day Ktuvim? Elayit Marachit, it must have been that Rav said, Lo Shana Lo Bimkom Beit HaMidrash. The only Isser is where you're at the area where there's the Beis HaMidrash, but if you're not in the Beis HaMidrash, you can read them. Where Shmuel says, no, absolutely not. Whether you're in the place, not time, the place. So whether you're in the place of the Beit HaMidrash, whether you're not in place of the Beit HaMidrash, you are not allowed to read. The only issue is what time of the day. If it's during the time, Bisman Beit HaMidrash, and it's the time of the Shir, you're not allowed to read anywhere, not there, where it's Mamash Bizoyan, like everybody goes into the room for the Kiddush and the Shir, and then you're sitting over there and you're reading the Ksuvim in the Shul next door. You know, you can't do that. But that would be even in your house, you wouldn't be allowed to. Where it has nothing to do with being a Bizayon, but you won't attend this year. But Shelo Bizman Beit HaMidrash Korin. And this is exactly what Shmuel did in Narda. As the Shmuel the time, eh? Now everything works out beautifully. That in Narda, indeed, after the meal, so now it was a Peshas Mincha, then that would be the time that the Rapaski Sidra Diktuvim Bimincha de Shabbata. Rav Ashi Amar, no. The way you had it originally was right. Shmuel actually holds that what he said was that you can't read any time in the day. But that was Shmuel's quoting. There's two different halachas over there. As far as Narda is concerned, Narda was Shmuel, but Shmuel was saying the halacha over there, Aliba to Rabbi Nechemiah, and Rabbi Nechemiah doesn't hold of the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says the only reason that you're not allowed to read from Ksuvim is because of the fact that it's going to get you so involved that you will not show up to Shir. But that's not what Rabbi Nechemiah said. And because of that, he wanted you to know that Aliba to Rabbi Nechemiah wouldn't matter any time in the day. To Tanya. So even though you're not allowed to just read any of the Sifrei Ksuvim, but you can certainly have things that have to do with them, lahalacha or musar, in other words, the midrashim, of whether it's midrash halacha, midrash agada, or to go into the pshat in terms of the various rishonim, that you can do, and you could certainly give a drosha in how to understand them and the implications, and if you need to look up a pasuk, you're certainly allowed to. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to look in it. You can take the book and you can look up a pasuk in it. Nitzach lepasuk bevivaro ebo. Omer Rabbi Nechemiah, why do you think they said that you're not allowed to read in Kitvei HaKodesh? It has nothing to do with not going to Shir. It has to do with teaching people a very important lesson, and that is the nature of what it is that one should read and handle on Shabbos. So, Kadesh Yomru, we want people to say to themselves, wow, you're not even allowed to read Ketuvim. Kol Shekein, I'm not allowed to read Mishpacha magazine. So, therefore, they would... Actually, it's a big machlokas. What it is that you're supposed to learn from it. We'll discuss this later on because we're going to have more of this sugya to come. So there's a big machlokas that you're not allowed to read shtarei hedyotot. What are shtarei hedyotot? So Rashi brings that shtarei hedyotot refer to either bills, payments, stuff like that, which everybody agrees to shtarei hedyotot. But shtarei hedyotot would also include letters, just letters. Tosfos disagrees and says that letters that are being written, you know, with news from family and stuff like that, you are allowed to read. And then there's another Tosfos here that starts discussing whether are you allowed to read novels or not. So again, all of this we'll talk about later. But for sure, everybody is made that you're not allowed to read anything that has to do with business. And therefore, in order to be koveya that in people's minds, we made this gezeira so that people would realize you have to be very careful with what you do on Shabbos.